This is TWiT.
Of six AI researchers at this company that Elon Musk founded, and I did note, I didn't have a chance to track it down, ran short of time, but apparently he's distancing himself from this. And I don't know what that means, like why he's was not happy with...
He was not the only founder. A bunch of people raised money, Reid Hoffman, Elon, Peter Thiel, to do safe AI. They were very concerned about what everybody else was doing. So they created OpenAI to create safe AI. And I think half the mission of OpenAI is to warn people about AI.
Well... Yeah, and in fact, what they created, they decided they couldn't have open because as a consequence.
Okay, so, but I agree, and I can't wait to hear what you talk about here. But remember, they're trying to stop certain kinds of AI, and since they never released this, this all could be speculative.
Well, okay, so I guess we should have seen this coming. For quite some time, as we know, we've had bots roaming the internet, talking about Google, before then AltaVista, and those bots were roaming the internet, indexing its pages, so in some sense reading them, but just, you know, to index them. And we've also had bots warring with each other. And then, of course, 8 years ago, we sat silent, witnessing the stunning performance and success of IBM's Watson on Jeopardy. It was somewhat intimidating since I couldn't have answered most of those questions. And this thing just like, you know, knew.
Steve, if you had access to Wikipedia instantaneously, you could have answered all those questions too. I don't know why people were so surprised at the ability to answer. To me, the amazing thing was the ability to understand.
Well, that's what I was just going to say, was to understand the question.
Because if you got, if I typed in the question, Wolfram Alpha will do it. Google will do it. It's understanding and then giving it back in speech. It was a little bit of a parlor trick, if you ask me.
Yeah. Anyway, it impressed me.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's one thing for a stylish black cube to sit there. And, of course, now it's doing cancer diagnosis and other expert system AI-ish things.
Failing at, I should point out.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Watson has proven to be not nearly as good at some of the things it's been tasked with as they were hoping.
Well, and of course, we know that much like security problems, they only ever get better. They never get worse.
Right.
So now what we have is text-generating AI bots, which could endlessly roam the internet reading what they find and pouring out non-human generated content under the guise of being human, which, for quite a while we've been living with photos being photoshopped. I mean, so much so that that's now a term, photoshopped. And of course, more recently, we've been growing aware of the possibility that someone's clearly recognizable voice might be saying something that they never uttered. So this spoofing is like entering the mainstream. But in the jargon that we use on this podcast, we would say that those are attacks or targeted, photoshopping a specific image or targeting someone's voice. So while that's disturbing, their reach is inherently limited. But that's not the case if text-generating AI bots are let loose on the internet. Okay, so this blog posting was titled modestly, "Better Language Models and Their Implications." And in their descriptive blurb, and I think I have a link. Yeah, I have a link at the top of this for anyone who is interested in more details. In their descriptive blurb, they said, "We've trained a large-scale, unsupervised language model which generates coherent paragraphs of text, achieves state-of-the-art performance on many language modeling benchmarks, and performs rudimentary reading comprehension, machine translation, question answering, and summarization, all without task-specific training, meaning just without knowing a priori anything specific. Okay, so I want to share a sample of what this thing puts out. But first, I'm going to share a little bit of sort of their context so we get a sense for what they did. They wrote, our model called GPT-2, which is the successor to GPT-2, or to GPT. So this is GPT-2, was trained simply to predict the next word in 40 gigs of internet text. They said, due to our concerns about malicious applications of the technology, we are not releasing the training model. As an experiment in responsible disclosure, we are instead releasing a much smaller model for researchers to experiment with, as well as a technical paper. And I'll just note, it doesn't matter. I mean, if it can be done, it will be done. And it's, again, this demonstrates it can be done. They wrote, GPT-2 is a large transformer-based language model with 1.5 billion parameters trained on a data set of 8 million web pages. GPT-2 is trained with a simple objective: predict the next word, given all of the previous words within some text. The diversity of the data set causes – so if any of us – I know, Leo, you have toyed with, as I have, Markov chains. You know, imagine an –
it's actually surprisingly easy to do.
Yes. An incredibly large, highly trained Markov chain where you have probabilities of going from this node to the next one and so forth. So this is sort of that kind of thing where, you know, it can be used to create a predictive model. So they said the diversity of the data set causes this simple goal, that is, predict the next word, but with a huge model. The diversity of the data set causes this simple goal to contain naturally occurring demonstrations of many tasks across diverse domains. GPT-2 is a direct scale up of GPT. So basically they said, wow, this is working. Let's make it bigger. See what happens. They said with more than 10x the parameters and trained on more than 10x the amount of data. GPT-2 displays a broad set of capabilities, including the ability to generate conditional synthetic text samples of unprecedented quality, where we prime the model with an input, and we're going to demonstrate that in a minute, prime the model with an input and have it generate a lengthy continuation. In addition, GPT-2 outperforms other language models trained on specific domains like Wikipedia, the news, or books, without needing to use these domain-specific training data sets. On language tasks like question answering, reading comprehension, summarization, and translation, GPT-2 begins to learn these tasks from the raw text using no task-specific training data. That is, just pour the text in. While scores on these downstream tasks are far from state-of-the-art, they suggest that the tasks can benefit from unsupervised techniques given sufficient unlabeled data and computation. They said GPT-2, finally, GPT-2 generates synthetic text samples in response to the model being primed with an arbitrary input. The model is chameleon-like. It adapts to the style and content of the conditioning text. This allows the user to generate realistic and coherent continuations about a topic of their choosing, as seen by the following sample. Okay, so here is a sample of this machine.
Can I just ask one thing?
Yeah.
Did they do this in front of people? Did they like say, okay, come in here. We're going to run this. We're going to let you watch it. It'll be generated. And these people, whoever they are, verified that it was actually generated by this software. I mean, they haven't released the software.
No.
How sure are we that this actually happened? So you're trusting OpenAI, but OpenAI's mission, sworn mission, is to warn people about the dangers of AI.
Well, they've done that, and for me, at least.
So, I don't know. I'm not sure I believe it. But go ahead.
Read it to me. I'm gullible. I believe this. So here's what was given to the machine. In a shocking finding, scientists discovered a herd of unicorns living in a remote, previously unexplored valley in the Andes Mountains. Even more surprising to the researchers was the fact that the unicorns spoke perfect English. Okay, so that was given.
That was a human that wrote that.
A human wrote that as input to this system that has been generated. It then produced, and they did say it took 10 tries. So they said there was a button where they said, try again. Okay, but this is what it produced. And again, remember, these things only get better.
Now, so is this the one that learned everything from Reddit? I think the content that it absorbed was Reddit pages.
There was something about Reddit. Anyway, so again, okay, so
which might help you understand what you're about to hear.
So they put in a shocking finding, scientists discovered a herd of unicorns living in a remote, previously unexplored valley in the Andes Mountains. Even more surprising to the researchers was the fact that the unicorns spoke perfect English. That was put in. This machine then produced. The scientist named the population after their distinctive horn, Ovid's unicorn. These four-horned silver-white unicorns were previously unknown to science. Now, after almost two centuries, the mystery of what sparked this odd phenomenon is finally solved. Dr. Jorge Perez, an evolutionary biologist from the University of La Paz, and several companions were exploring the Andes Mountains when they found a small valley with no other animals or humans. Perez noticed that the valley had what appeared to be a natural fountain surrounded by two peaks of rock and silver snow. Perez and the others then ventured further into the valley. Quote, "By the time we reached the top of one peak, the water looked blue with some crystals on top," unquote, said Perez. Perez and his friends were astonished to see the unicorn herd. These creatures could be seen from the air without having to move too much to see them. They were so close they could touch their horns. While examining these bizarre creatures, the scientists discovered that the creatures also spoke some fairly regular English. Perez stated, quote, "We can see, for example, that they have a common language, something like a dialect or dialectic," unquote. Dr. Perez believes that the unicorns may have originated in Argentina, where the animals were believed to be descendants of a lost race of people who lived there before the arrival of humans in those parts of South America. While their origins are still unclear, some believe that perhaps the creatures were created when a human and a unicorn met each other in a time before human civilization. According to Perez, in South America, such incidents seem to be quite common, unquote. However, Perez also pointed out it is likely that the only way of knowing for sure if unicorns are indeed descendants of a lost alien race is through DNA. Quote, but they seem to be able to communicate in English quite well, which I believe is a sign of evolution, or at least a change in social organization, unquote, said the scientist. Okay, now, Leo, I am stunned that some software can produce something as coherent as that. And
we don't see all the versions it produced that they didn't give you.
That's true. Again, be skeptical. Just wait a year. You know, as I said, these things only get better. They wrote, and I'm glad they appreciate this. They said, as the above samples show, our model is capable of generating samples from a variety of prompts that feel close to human quality and show coherence over a page or more of text. They said, of policy implications, large general language models could have significant societal impacts and also have many long-term implications. Or, I'm sorry, applications. We can anticipate how systems like GPT-2 could be used to create AI writing assistants, more capable dialogue agents, unsupervised translation between languages, better speech recognition systems. We can also imagine the application of these models for malicious purposes, including the following, or other applications we can't yet anticipate. Generate misleading news articles, impersonate others online, automate the production of abusive or faked content to post on social media, automate the production of spam and phishing content. They wrote, these findings combined with earlier results on synthetic imagery, audio, and video imply that technologies are reducing the cost of generating fake content and waging disinformation campaigns. The public at large will need to become more skeptical of text they find online, just as the deep fakes phenomenon calls for more skepticism about images. They wrote, today, malicious actors, some of which are political in nature, have already begun to target the shared online commons, using things like robotic tools, fake accounts, and dedicated terms to troll individuals with hateful commentary or smears that make them afraid to speak or difficult to be heard or believed. We should consider how research into the new generation of synthetic images, videos, audios, and text may further combine to unlock new, as yet unanticipated capabilities for these actors, and should seek to create better technical and non-technical countermeasures. Furthermore, the underlying technical innovations inherent to these systems are core to fundamental artificial intelligence research, so it is not possible to control research in these domains without slowing down the progress of AI as a whole. So anyway, when I saw where we are with something that a machine can produce, and the what this does is, I mean, we have a system with the internet where there is an assumption we have today that what we're reading, the postings we're reading, are from people. And I think that will soon no longer be the case. Bots have demonstrated themselves to be fabulously, I mean, astonishingly capable of indexing content on the internet. No one can imagine life without a comprehensive internet index, which we have entirely thanks to the fact that bots, I mean, like, the internet is their domain. That's where they live. And we're transacting I'm transacting constantly with textual content that I have known is generated by other people. That is entirely, I think, endangered. And that's a that represents a sea change in the way we think of the content on the internet.
Okay. You obviously didn't see the article from 2 years ago about the Washington Post robot reporter that did 850 sports articles without anybody noticing it was they were auto-generated.
Wow.
That's because it's in a domain, very specific domain.
Yes.
So this is a technology that the Washington Post calls Heliograph. And the thing is, it's very easy to write sports reports because it's really all very formulaic. Interestingly, just to clarify, the way they got the data for this robot, the OpenAI robot, is they did go to Reddit, but they used outbound links from Reddit, so to a variety of sources. But they used Reddit to qualify the sources because it had to have a score of 3 karma or better. So they said, well, that means humans picked this as a source of good content. But it also explains why it was this OpenAI AI was very good if you asked it questions about Miley Cyrus, Brexit, or Lord of the Rings.
Although it got her age wrong, I think.
Hey,
something that it was referring to was 7 years old, and so
I'd be more nervous about it being used to generate, signal jamming to generate, you know, a lot.
It's going to. That's my point. That when we have
not
bots
that it's good
loose,
content particularly, but just that it's just content.
Yes, flood of junk. Yeah. I mean, where it's just it can no longer be discriminated. This is awful.
Yeah.
This is awful.
That's just the internet. And you're right. It's coming soon to a comment thread near you. On the other hand, there's plenty of humans that can generate endless amounts of crap.
No,
all by
that's
themselves.
Just it. Automation. I mean, it is volume, unfortunately. It's a flood.
What a world. But that's what we cover here on Security Now.
Oh, Lord.
I think this is a great topic to talk about, in general, authenticity on the internet. I think that's a great topic because it isn't just text. It's, as you said, deep.